I'm Steph Reed. I am the director of the Flat River Community Library.
Hi, I'm Cassie Vargo. I am Flat River's Outreach and Marketing Librarian.
I'm Rick Altman, and I am the current state senator for District 33.
Welcome to the Flat River Front Porch.
So the Time Life books. Yes,
it's a core memory.
It is. Yeah. The ads on TV about you can have all of these beautiful titles in your home. I can't think of any of the beautiful adjectives that they use to describe the bindings, like handsomely bound or something like that. Yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of in that same vein as the company that always did the only through the TV, only over the phone, mm-hmm. commemorative plates and stuff like
the coins,
that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that was an era, man.
Why do they not do that anymore? I don't understand.
I think the model failed them.
The model was uniquely for that era.
Mm-hmm.
In the age of the internet, it's harder to get people to call right away.
I don't call if
exactly. Don't have to. The amount of mental energy you have to exhaust just to like call someone, you have to psych yourself up for it. But the other aspect of that core memory too is there's a whole cross section of songs from the 60s and 70s, like easy listening type songs, mm-hmm. that I only ever remember about 3 or 4 seconds of,
mm-hmm.
because that was the
little clip on the commercial,
right, as they were toggling between the different, and you know, the print of the names of the songs is rising up on the screen, like look at all these songs.
and more
that was always
it was always in more. The giant joke in my family, and it my sister like hated it, because every time that commercial came on, my dad would be like, oh look, And More is on there, and it was
my favorite band,
and it was every single time. And of course she was like, you know, 13 at the time, so it was just like, ugh, dad. But it was a running joke for well over a decade.
That sounds like one of the original dad jokes, definitely.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But the reason we're talking about this is because a patron donated the Time Life Home Improvement series, and I just moved into an old Victorian here just like last week, and suddenly I was like, ooh, plumbing, ooh, heating mm-hmm. and cooling. Like
carpentry.
They're old compared to the materials you might find now on those topics, mm-hmm. but compared to how old my house is, they're
new.
Fancy pantsy. Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm excited to put those in my house and then never
touch them again.
But I was pumped. Like, yeah, that's something. Maybe I will look at them at some point when I try to figure out why my water pressure is so terrible.
I mean, I'm sure that there's plenty of home improvement to be done, albeit it's a gorgeous house.
Thank you.
But it is, you know,
I will not tell people where it is,
no.
because that's not
that's
a good decision.
Private.
But I will say that my commute has gotten shorter.
Much shorter.
We'll just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, it is a beautiful house, and it has really cool community history too.
Mm-hmm.
Just people who have lived in the house over the years. I feel like I need to name it. Like, it seems like a house that needs to have a name. So I've been thinking about that. One of its most recent former occupants is a kind of a community icon who was a chiropractor in the area for a long time, named Joyce London. A number of you who are locals and have been for quite some time probably recognize that name. Because she was very active in the community, and she was who I strive to be. I never met her, but the more I read about her, I want to be her. Like,
well,
she's,
I mean, you've taken the first step, but what really calls to you about her?
She was a take charge person. Like, she was obviously very empathetic. She was very giving. She had a reputation for being an extremely nice and caring person. But she also was, she was blunt, and she felt no hesitancy about speaking her mind. And I was just like, yes.
I mean, I feel like you have a lot of those qualities anyway. So you're close to getting there.
But still, like, I want her to be my patron saint is what it is.
Yes.
So I thought about possibly naming the house in her honor, because
that's wonderful. Yeah.
It seems apt. That's my exciting thing right now. I'm antiquing at the moment because it is a Victorian and the family that I bought it from did a beautiful job of maintaining that look. And I love Victorian decorating.
I mean, the couches alone, you know, just ornate woodwork, just absolutely beautiful.
But. And it was maximalism, like hardcore, which that is, that's me.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to cover my entire wall with just random knickknacks and stuff. Like, who needs to see the paint?
No.
Like,
I mean, that's kind of what I'm going for. You know, we moved into our house like 9 years ago and we still haven't painted the walls. And I'm done looking at tan walls. And my husband, we're just like...
That's worse than gray.
Oh, yeah. No, it's bad. I would just like some white walls. That would be great. It would.
Yeah, I don't like white either. I like the walls in your house to have an opinion. Like,
I grew up in a house where everything was a vibrant color on the walls.
Oh, and okay. Well, no, I'm not talking like hot pink. I'm saying like in the color, like not just reflecting all light.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's fair. But also, my house is relatively small, so having lot of light in there to reflect does make it seem larger.
Well, you can choose lighter colors, accent walls, maybe.
I wonder though, like, because accent walls, I think, have fallen out of favor.
Who cares?
Valid point.
You know, you live how you want to live. Like, I never understand people who make such a big deal out of like, oh yeah, my cabinets are all, they all look like, you know, they were from the 80s or 90s. And like, yeah, okay. But do they hold your pots
stuff?
And pans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Does it really bother you? Like if it's something that really bothers you or you feel inclined to change, go for it.
Yeah.
But like
the paint bothers me.
Yeah. Don't hinge your self-worth on
No, it's more that I have a lot of things on my walls and now it's like, oh, the daunting task of taking everything off and then painting and then putting everything back up.
Yes, certainly. Okay, I feel like at some point here we have to double back so
we can actually do
the intro part. Maybe I'll kind of like snip try to move this
or
around
you
a
can
bit.
Just like do a cold start and we can be, you know,
yeah,
just cold open.
Yeah, it's so professional. It's like these people know what they're doing. They're doing these cold opens. Like we know what cold opens are.
I mean, we all watch The Office, so.
Oh, I was thinking SNL is what I always think of with cold opens.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Because they always do one.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they're a little less political these days. The political cold opens got a little old on there.
How many times
can you see somebody imitate really any of the presidents? Genuinely enjoyed when the really funny comedian who did Sean
McCarthy?
Spicer. Melissa McCarthy, yes.
Yeah.
When she did Sean Spicer.
Yeah, she was good.
I love that so much. She was so amazing with the desk that like crashes into people. Yeah.
She have a segue at one point?
Yeah, there was one point where she was just driving through Midtown.
Yeah.
Anyway. The good old days. But yes, let's now actually introduce ourselves. Again, hopefully at this point you know who I am, but just in case you don't, I am Steph Reed. I am the director of the Flat River Community Library. And again, I am sitting down with our outreach and marketing librarian. So,
hi, I'm Cassie Vargo. I am Flat River's outreach and marketing librarian.
Yeah.
Hey.
This is your third time go around on this, which
is,
I'm trying to spread it out a little more evenly, but I wanted to make sure that you spoke this week because we have some really exciting things that are happening on that front and that have kept you really occupied. You've been one busy lady.
I have been busy for the last couple months. Yeah. So we launched our seed library, which has been going like gangbusters.
Is there any left?
Barely.
Okay.
No, I mean, we do have some stock left, but the out of stock signs are
multiplying
rapidly. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's fantastic. So we are planning, and by we, I mean I, am planning on
the royal we.
The royal we.
We are planning. That was a terrible accent. And my voice even cracked. I'm like a 13-year-old boy doing the royal we.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we are going to probably restock. I don't know if that'll be until August or anything, but we do hope to have like a fall planting round for the seed library. So theoretically, my goal is to have August and like February, March rounds for each round of the seed library.
Okay.
So
let's take a step back. We are so immersed in this stuff that like the concept of a typical public library having a sea library, it's just something that we're already very familiar with because it's been a big thing for libraries to get engaged with in the last, you know, how many ever years.
Yeah.
But for anyone who is not familiar with this concept and you know, sort of what the methodology for it and what its goals are, could you extrapolate on that?
So this is an outreach initiative to provide healthy food and sustainability for people in our community.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the seeds that we have for this particular round.
And it isn't just food focused. Let's make
sure. It's not. Yeah. There are other seeds in there. But we want to offer a sustainable resource for the community so that they can learn how to plant and grow things, maybe grow some food, some beautiful flowers. And just to, you know, have the community be engaged in something together. Like, mm-hmm. everybody's welcome to come and check out seeds. You can check out 5 per visit, up to 15 per season per household. Take your seeds, grow them, show us, send us pictures, bring us fruit. You know?
Within reason, please.
Yeah, no, we don't, yeah.
We don't need to have a break room full of cucumbers. Do people really eat cucumbers that much?
I mean, my husband does.
I've probably eaten 1 cucumber total in the last 5 years. Like 1 slice at a time in salads, basically.
I would strongly suggest that maybe you up your vegetable intake. Yeah.
I eat lots of vegetables.
Okay.
Get off my back. Okay. I do. I'm actually a vegetable aficionado. It's just cucumbers. They're just kind of blah.
I mean, I feel like you can dress them up in a lot of different ways, though.
I mean, I guess if you're motivated, like, there's so many other options without having, that is one of the beauties of the vegetable and fruit world, is that there are so many possibilities, and you can eat healthy and still have a couple of them. And you're just like, eh.
That's fair. That's fair. But so yeah, we have a lot of great, awesome seeds in the seed library. We're really excited about how popular it's been. We were completely shocked to discover that we had actually gone through half of our seed stock within the first 2 weeks that we had opened it. So we had about roughly 800 seed packets of 50 varieties of seeds. And the first 2 weeks, 402 packets had been taken out of the 800-ish. So, like, yeah, it's been incredibly popular. I am super thrilled.
Hopefully the community gets a lot greener as a result. Yes.
Fingers crossed. So. Yeah, but we we're thrilled with it, and we're happy to take suggestions if there's things that people are looking for in that seed library. We did do this all on donations, so we kind of got what we got. But we got some really cool stuff, and I'm looking forward to expanding in the future.
Yeah, and this is just the beginning. It can grow from here.
Absolutely.
So to speak. What would you say to somebody like myself who kills plants more or less just by looking at them? Like, is this something that somebody who is a plant novice can still participate in?
I mean, absolutely. But I would highly encourage people to come to our Ask a Gardener program.
Oh, good point. That was not the intent of my segue, but that was beautifully done.
You're welcome. So yeah, the Greenville Garden Club will be in at the end of this month. And I apologize, I do not have the date on me.
Here, let me double check while you're talking.
Thank you.
They will
be with us to answer any questions that anyone has about their springtime planting or what they might need to do in order to get ready for that.
Actually, that is tomorrow.
Cool.
That's
so
what I thought, but
I
didn't
cut that whole part out.
No, it's okay. It's okay. You know, it's spontaneous and fun. Yay.
And then since we're going like gangbusters on Friday, we have the Montcalm Career Fair.
So. Yeah, this has been a really busy week.
It has. I am looking forward to next week where I don't have anything really planned.
No, you're looking forward to this week too. Like, there's
no, it's
going to
be amazing.
Things.
But it's one of those things where it's like, I'm like, okay, well, the next 2 days are going to be bonkers for me.
Yep. You're just going to be a happy little squirrel.
Yep. Nope. I'll be everywhere.
And then you're going to curl back into your hole.
Yep. Yep, it'll be great.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but that's gonna be fantastic. It's our second year doing it. Last year it was very much like the seed library. We were just kind of like, hey, can we do this? Like, is it possible? It's always great when you get to ask that question and then just run with it.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a lot of success last year. We had some really great engagement with both the schools and with the community in general. Mm-hmm. And it, we try to kind of fold in as much as possible too. It's job focused, in as much as if you are actively looking, that's something that businesses, nonprofits, government representation, et cetera, can offer insight into that as to what that looks like for them, where they're hiring, et cetera. And it's also an opportunity for, you know, young people or whomever to get some insight as into what careers in these fields look like. So,
yeah. And I mean, we have everything from healthcare to law enforcement to
manufacturing, you know, education,
manufacturing, service industry. Yeah, we've got pretty much a good smattering of everything this year. And I'm really, really looking forward to seeing, you know, a good turnout, basically.
And we get representation from MCC too, which is great because even if what you're looking for is not specifically academic, they can offer some information about what the available sort of career paths are in this area. Because one thing that people will sometimes forget about when they think of a college path is how easy it is to go through certificate programs and, you know, get experience with skilled trades or something in healthcare or something like that.
Absolutely. So, I know that their skilled trades program is very well attended.
Yes, and, absolutely.
I mean, their welding program I've heard amazing things about.
Okay, on that note, my guest this time around, to any of you who listened to the last episode, it should not be any surprise, but we are finishing out our two-parter of having our local legislators visit with us. And of course, if you are even remotely in the know, you are aware of the fact that our local representative and local senator are father and son. So last time we had on Pat Outman, who is the representative for our area, and our guest today is Senator Rick Outman. I'm guessing that generally speaking, those of you who are used to being in the public eye and not having the luxury of editing yourselves, you just learn how to fly with that.
Right. Well, don't learn. Part of my problem.
Oh, how was that?
I usually say things that, again, my chief of staff usually cringes about.
Okay. I won't ask.
She never knows what's going to come out next.
There can be something charming about that. There's something to be said for feeling comfortable in that public position, actually saying what comes to mind.
I have that old man syndrome where I just say what I think.
As long as you're not deliberately trying to be cruel to someone, I think there's a lot of value to that.
My wife goes way for me.
Oh, yeah.
That's what everybody said. Well, you always know where you stand with her.
Usually it's one person that is the truth teller and the one that sort of keeps themselves, but apparently both of you are that in your family. That's awesome. So as promised, our guest today, we are recording literally right in the middle of the eclipse. It's kind of weirdly looking half dark, but not quite outside. But yeah, so my guest this week is the father and it wouldn't be coworker, colleague, like what? Colleague. There we go. Of our last guest. So I'm going to have him go ahead and introduce himself. So give us your name, who you are in the community, and what you would be doing on an average day.
So I'm Rick Outman. And I am the current state senator for District 33, which is all of New England, most of Ionia, a bit of Kent, a bit of Ottawa County, a little bit of Muskegon County, and probably two-thirds of Lake County. So cover a big area.
That's a big hodgepodge.
Yeah, it is.
I'm impressed you were able to just recite that.
I'm in my final term. I've just a little over 2 years left, and I will be termed out. I'll go back to the real world.
So now you can just say whatever you want, right?
Well, normally I could, except my son is following in my footsteps, so I have to be a little bit more cautious.
So there is some responsibility required.
That's right. Just about done. I've been down there almost 14 years. It's been an interesting ride.
Okay. Were they continuous?
Not quite. So when I termed out in 16, my former senator, Judy Emmons, had 2 years left. So I actually became her in-district person for 2 years and just covered the district for her, which actually she's doing for me now.
So what did you do with the 2 years?
So I've got an excavating company. Went back to excavating full-time, and then at nights I would go to any meetings that she needed to. District and was five counties. It was vastly different.
Oh, okay. Is that because of the way redistricting has happened?
It was. Okay. Yep. So with redistricting, we do that every 10 years.
Right.
It's with a new census.
Mm-hmm.
And each Senate district has about, I think, 280,000 people.
Okay.
So it's based on geographic size. It's based on population density. In the last redistricting, with a freshman legislator and a state rep, historically up until that point, it had always been the majority party that drew the maps. Oh. The minority party could, too, because it was a committee process.
So, right.
So we had a committee for redistricting. Uh-huh. They appointed me to that, which was very interesting because I came from a very non-political family.
Okay.
And so to jump right into something that is so political.
Yeah, is, very much so.
But I really enjoyed it. It was very interesting. You find out the new population of the state. Uh-huh. You divide it by 110 in the House, which those were maps that we drew. Uh-huh. And then you just start in the Western UP and you start counting.
Okay.
You get to about 92,000 for a House district. You draw a line. And you just work your way downstate. You draw lines. And that's how we did it. We employed something called the A-polls.
Okay.
Named Bernie A-polls. And I don't know how many years ago, he came up with a set of rules that really is more of a legal process because you're going to be challenged in court.
No matter who draws
the lines. And this happened to be a set of rules that seemed to stand the test of time in litigation. The idea behind it was all about boundaries, preserve boundaries. So if you can preserve county lines, do that.
Right.
If you can't, so like my old House district, because of our population density, always required about a county and a half.
Okay.
And so we had to break the county.
Right.
But if you're going to break a county line, don't break a township line.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
But if you're going to break a township line, because, you know, you get into very densely populated areas, and it may not be possible to do that, then don't break a municipality line. So it was all about that, because you try not to have like what we have in Kent County now, where we have five senators representing one county, because I've got a part of it, and four other senators have parts of it.
Right. It makes it's very messy to actually represent people,
You're spread a lot more thin. I mean, I've got one township in Ottawa County now. I've got three townships in Muskegon County.
Okay.
I mean, it just, so I have to be a representative for those counties, even though I have such a small portion of them.
Right.
You're not represented as well.
Okay.
That wasn't the methodology of this redistricting commission. Of course, they were found in violation of the civil rights. 1965. They had to redraw their Detroit maps.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the civil rights act of 1965, because when we got to Detroit and we had to draw those lines, only did you have to have the right number of people. You had to have the right racial mix of people. Only in the Detroit districts. They didn't follow that.
I see. Okay. Yeah, and I can imagine it was a very complicated process, too.
Especially there, you know, when you're trying to chase numbers and racial mix.
Right.
That's when the lines really look like they're gerrymandered, because you almost feel like you are.
You're trying to be fair, and it looks like you're doing the opposite. Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Yep.
Well, so that's the districts we have now. They're a little bit more wonky than they were, but it's bittersweet. You spend 4 years building those relationships, and you know, and you make the promises we're going to be friends forever, and you know, because you build friendships, but you're so busy in your new district, and especially with my new district where I go all the way from north of Baldwin all the way to Portland, I mean, you're spread pretty thin, and so it's exciting to meet new people, but at the same time, it's kind of bittersweet that you lose the relationships that you had built, because you just don't have time for
them. Right. Well, I just learned a lot. Okay. And that's fabulous. I love it when I accidentally learn stuff like that. So obviously you had your excavating business beforehand. What made you initially make the decision, okay, this is something that I want to pursue?
I would have asked.
Oh, okay.
Now, I had no design. I didn't know any state reps. I didn't know any senators.
Okay.
I didn't know any county commissioners. I knew some township officials because if they were the ones that I grew up with, and the only race that we really watched with keen interest when I was growing up was the drain commissioner. Race.
Oh, okay.
Because that was, that had a direct impact on our.
Right.
We dug a lot of county drains. I can remember my dad would go to the courthouse on election night and you know, sit there and watch it, the returns with the drain commissioner. Because, you know, obviously, if you're doing county drains, you become friends with the drain commissioner. And matter of fact, the person that asked me to run was, at that time, our deputy drain commissioner, who became our drain commissioner. She happened to be also the vice chair of our local Republican Party, which I didn't even know existed because I didn't grow up in politics.
Right.
I can remember I was working on a drain project. Went to the office, and she started talking to me about, and Senator Emmons was representative of Emmons then. She was terming out, and they were looking for somebody to replace her, and she'd given me this long spiel about that and kind of gave her a blank stare, and finally she just said, "I'm talking about you, you idiot." And that was my response, the laugh.
Right.
And I just said, "Not interested, Sandy." But she kept working on me all spring. and finally convinced me to have a meeting with Dave Camp's people.
Okay.
Because I was anything special, they were vetting all camp. You know, they were just looking for somebody. Come home, that wife was home. She drove bus for the school. And I came home in not dress clothes, but clean clothes, which was uncharacteristic.
Which is the equivalent of your Sunday best, basically.
Right, during the middle of the day, you know, I should have dirty excavating clothes on. Right. And she said, well, what are you doing? And I told her, she kind of laughed. She said, well, how long have you been thinking about that? I said, I haven't been thinking about that. I said, that's why I never brought it up, because it was not an issue.
Oh, okay.
And but I said, I guess it's an issue. They've convinced me to throw my hat in the ring.
Okay.
And I did horribly.
I mean, okay.
It was a six-way primary, and I took like
four. Oh, okay.
I had no idea what I was doing. My cousin, professor at Cornerstone College, now Cornerstone University, asked him if he would help me, and so he bought a book on how to campaign and started reading it, and we didn't know you knocked doors. We didn't know anything.
Right.
I just went to the parades.
It's not like you learned that in school. It's not like anybody picks that up as a...
Well, and you say that, and it's funny because I was asked to speak. So Lakeview schools always did a Monday morning huddle with their student body for the high school.
Right.
And my youngest daughter was still in school when they asked me to come and speak to it. I did say to them was, I can tell you one thing. I wish I would have paid more attention in government.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had no idea that I was going into politics. I didn't know how to do a campaign. And when it was over, you know, I just said, okay. I didn't have a lot invested. And I just went back to my life. 2 years later, Judy Emmons called me and asked me to run again. And I just said, it's not going to happen. I took fourth in a six-way. Why don't you ask number one? She convinced me. And it was actually her husband's idea.
Oh, okay. And
because what happened was, Mike Huckleberry got in, who was a former bar owner here, restaurant. And they were looking for somebody on the Republican side to run against him. I said, I don't think you can beat him. She said, we think you can. She convinced me to run. I did. Here I am.
All right. Okay. So you must have done something different and better the second time around then.
You know, doors opened for me that I didn't know existed before. I wasn't the candidate of choice the first time.
Okay.
In the second election, I had Judy's help. My cousin, he actually this time moved home because he had summers off anyway. We just started campaigning hard, and I did know to knock doors then. But what's funny about it is when they asked me to run, that was in 2010, I had no designs on me. So it wasn't like I had prepared all winter. Filing deadline then was in May. Now it's in April. We changed that since I've been in the legislature. Judy called me Friday before filing deadline to run. This was right during the downturn.
Right.
We were struggling. We had about three big jobs that didn't pay over the course of a couple of years. Put me behind the eight ball, so much so that my brother left the business, went back to the road commission to work.
Oh, okay.
And I just stayed in business and just tried to hold it together. And so we were, you know, we were living on beans and rice, trying to survive. And
so campaigning on top of that, probably,
Well, so I didn't. Right. When they finally convinced me, I said, look, Judy, I'm coming out of this recession. I can see daylight at the end of the tunnel. I'm on a tightrope walking towards that daylight, and I don't want to get tipped off that line. They convinced me to run, but because I hadn't prepared, I actually didn't start campaigning until July 4th weekend. And the primary was August 4th that year.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
I actually campaigned for some total of a month.
Wow.
But I campaigned hard. I mean, I shut the business down. I campaigned hard for a month.
Okay.
And I got it.
Oh, maybe that's a secret. People have short attention span anyway.
Good point. Yeah. You got to sprint at the end.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. People are going to remember the last face they saw, in a manner of speaking. Yeah. The person who most recently stuck with them.
Sure.
Yeah. That makes sense. So you mentioned that you're in a third generation business. So you've been, your family has been local for a long time then, it sounds like.
Yeah. I live on the farm my dad grew up on.
Okay.
And then right down the road from us is our Centennial Farm. That's been our Centennial Farm for quite a few years. Mm-hmm. So it's where my great grandma grew up.
Okay.
We don't own the farm anymore. We sold it a few years ago, but we still own the farm.
Okay.
And that's actually where my son lived.
Okay.
In the house my dad.
Okay. Is the Centennial Farm the one with all the cats?
Nope, that's mine. Afraid so.
Are you a cat person?
Well, we do have one house cat. And,
okay.
You know, have a teacup chihuahua.
Okay.
Who was. And know if you know anything about Chihuahuas, but they are a one man. And so,
okay.
Although he does tolerate my grandson, he must know something. He doesn't tolerate my wife as well or anyone else. He wants me to.
Right.
But he will, my grandson pet him.
Okay.
He did nip at him the other, scratch him a little, but.
Well, the little guys probably know that they have to hold their own in order to,
right.
to stay, to defend themselves. Yeah,
well,
definitely.
And he's 14, so he's getting right up.
Oh, okay. I would not have pegged you as a Chihuahua person.
I know. I get a lot of grief over that. When I first got him. So my daughter had Chihuahuas, the one that lives in Kentucky.
Yeah.
And when her husband was stationed overseas the first time, I think she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
She had one Chihuahua then and brought him home.
Mm-hmm.
Grew attached to that
mm-hmm.
one. So they decided to buy me one down there.
Okay.
As soon as I got, and he was a puppy. He was little.
Mm-hmm.
And very innocent looking.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, he was mine, and he knew it. He wouldn't let anybody. We happened to be up at our cabin. We have a cabin in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and it was Elk Festival week. I'm in a little bag, and I'm carrying him around. People would reach in to pet him. He was bigger than a TV remote. Oh,
right, right.
And he would just snarl. But I
am not for public consumption.
Yeah, but he would let me, so.
It's kind of sweet.
Yeah, so he's kind of been guy for, well, he's going on 15 years.
Oh, wow. What's his name? He said?
His name's Chico.
Chico, okay.
And he had a daughter named, we called her Miha.
Mm-hmm.
And she passed away. This one seems to hang on, the ornery one hangs on.
So. Oh, yeah. There's some interconnectedness there that has something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Well, when I first got, that was during Paris Hilton's
rise
to fame. And I have a friend that lives in L.A., but she grew up. Right next door to us.
Okay.
So when I got this Chihuahua, she immediately went out and got me a little Paris Hilton pursed.
But did you ever use it, though?
I didn't.
Okay. I feel like that would go really well with the getup you've got.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
It look good on a bulldozer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If as long as Chico is comfortable, I suppose.
Right.
That's the important part. Yeah. So obviously, you've spent a lot of time in this area, and you spend some time in the UP, too, is what it sounds like. That's kind of your... A little bit of a home away from home.
Yeah.
Yep. Do you have other travel aspirations?
Well, we go down to Kentucky as often as I can
mm-hmm.
Because I have two grandchildren down there. It's
yep.
Normally where I go more than anywhere else anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And we just 2 weeks down.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, what's funny, we decided to take my wife's, drive her car down there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, I better change the oil. It seems like it's been a while since I changed, but I always log it in her owner's name. So I looked, and it was a year ago that I changed it,
mm-hmm.
but she only had 6,000 miles. So,
oh, okay. So it hasn't been moving around a whole lot.
No, so even my wife is somewhat of a homebody. She grew up in Lakeview. I grew up in Six Lakes, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, we all went to school together. And
mm-hmm.
So we're pretty comfortable where we're at.
Going back to your business, what do you think you might do with your time after you're finished?
Yeah, I don't know, really. I mean, I never, you know, a lot of people,
you know, oh, I'm
especially
sure,
yeah. as we're drawing near to, I really never expected this.
Uh-huh.
Like, I never expected the state rep, but even when I was a state rep, I never expected to be in the Senate because you're squeezing 110 state reps down to 38 Senate seats.
Oh, right,
so,
right.
So only a third of you are going to make the cut.
Right.
And I didn't think I would be the one. You know, I don't have any definite plans.
Do you think it's going to feel weird when you're finished? Like your rhythm is going to change a little bit?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, doing this for 14 years, it's an entire school, you know, from kindergarten to graduation.
Yeah, pretty much.
I never really lost my rhythm for excavating if I wanted to go back into that full time. Still do it a little bit on the side, mostly for family and friends. I still have all the equipment
uh-huh.
like right up where I left. I want it.
I talked about with Pat, too, was that there aren't those fixed term limits where it can be a lifelong career
right.
potentially. When you decide to do it, you have to be able to handle the disruption that it will create, and you have to be able to hit the ground again once you're finished. And
right. Right. That's the difference here. We've got some of the strictest term limits in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
There are some where there are no term limits, but you're a part-time legislator.
Right. Right.
So people have asked me whether I like term limits, don't like term limits, whether I like full-time, whether I think it should be part-time. If I was voting for my, well, alone. Uh-huh. If I was being selfish and just looking at my life, part-time legislature would have melded well with my chosen vocation. Especially a lot of times, the part-time legislatures are in session during the winter months. The only hesitation I have for that, what I've told people is, sometimes cut off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah.
What I tell people is, if we're not in office, let's say we truly are on our job schedule and mm-hmm. our Senate session schedule. Mm-hmm. Who do you call when you have trouble? We take calls all the time.
Right, right.
And are you going to call a bureaucracy that isn't accountable to you mm-hmm. because you're not elected?
Right.
Are you going to call the governor's office who has to worry about the entire state? Mm-hmm. You've lost your direct voice in Lansing.
Right.
By doing that, the amount of money that you save is less than a rounding error in our budget.
Okay.
Now, when we talk about term limits, you know, there's pros and cons. It's kind of a double-edged sword, term limits. Uh-huh. You always get a fresh perspective. Right. People coming in off the street.
Right.
You eliminate that possibility where you kind of get lost in that Lansing bubble if you're stuck there for 20, 30 years. There's certainly people that you've seen in the federal government where you just think they've outlived their useful life.
Right.
But it's hard to unseat them because the longer you're in, right. You know, you got name ID, you have lobbying mm-hmm. people behind you. You have a lot of advantages over a newcomer. Right. Although I would say that's less so than it was with this volatile political climate. It seems like it's a lot easier to take somebody out nowadays than
it
used to
things
be.
Have changed a little bit in that respect. Yeah.
So, you know, next to a term limited legislature is, you've really shifted again. You've shifted that balance of power. Uh-huh. The legislature is a very young legislature. Uh-huh. You know, they're very inexperienced. And so where do we go for our answers? Because you've lost that institutional knowledge.
Right, right.
You either try to employ your predecessor, which that's what I've done, uh-huh. or you go to people that have been there for a long time, which is lobbyists, uh-huh. bureaucrats.
Yeah, yep. I think if there's any way you can easily, without offending anybody, sum up the political process, it's complicated.
I would say it's messy.
Yes, that too. And I think we all instinctually want to try to disentangle it, or at least just sort of sweep away some of the mess and not try to take too much of it in, just as individuals, because, you know, who has the energy to really immerse themselves in that stuff? We all have day-to-day lives.
Sure. I can remember talking to an FFA group right after I got elected. They asked me, what a state rep does. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, here's what I can tell you. I was asked that question as I ran the first. Mm-hmm. And my answer was, I'll let you know. I had no idea. Let me tell you the consequences of our choices, of our votes. Mm-hmm. What we do affects your life, your parents' life, your grandparents' life, your kids, your grandkids. I said, it's far-reaching and long-lasting. Mm-hmm. I said, so don't be a Rick Altman that said, that world is a separate world from my world.
Right.
And those two worlds collide. I said,
yes.
They collide on a daily basis.
Yep.
Make sure that you are an informed voter, because very important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Tell us about young Pat.
Patrick growing up?
Yeah.
Patrick growing up was very busy. He's a pretty easy baby. About the time he learned to crawl, he was all motion. He never stopped. and even now, I mean, he wears his wife out because he can't sit still.
Right.
To move. And so, you know, you'd be ready to either follow him or let him go off on his own.
Because, right, right.
You know, so my grandson was there, his older sister's son, who was 14. And so they rode rides the whole time down to Pigeon Forge. So a young kid keep up with Pat. An old guy like me to keep up with Pat. My grandmother works for him, just his great-grandmother. He's all boy. Mm-hmm. He was just a bundle of energy, stop motion. And what's funny is his son, my grandson, who's 21 months, leaf didn't fall far from the tree.
Well, yeah.
Or the apple didn't fall far from
the tree. That makes
sense. So
he has to get a little bit of reciprocity in there at some point. He's going to have to reach a point where he starts to slow down and he's getting worn out. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I have a lot more patience now. I'm a different person as a grandfather than I was.
Oh, yeah.
I actually am enjoying it extremely. Number one, I don't know that I have more time. I just reprioritize.
Sure, yeah. What's important to you changes. Yeah.
Right. I love every minute of just being a little wild man, and we do everything together. It's like raising him all over again. So mm-hmm. And I loved raising him. He was tiring. I loved raising him, and now I get a second chance at raising somebody just mm-hmm. a little mini. Yeah.
And it sounds like it's pretty close to it, too, because they're really close to you.
Yeah, right across the heat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I moved a house in years ago. Well, matter of fact, I moved it in. We moved into that house in December of 91, and Pat was born in April of 92.
Okay.
So my wife was pregnant for him. So actually, the house I live in, the house Pat was born in.
Okay.
But he still lives on the same farm. Matter of fact, the farm we live on is the farm I was raised on, and it's the farm my dad was raised on.
Yeah, you don't see that quite as much as you used to, definitely.
No, it's like when I went to read to kids at Lakeview Schools this year, because I always do March's Reading Month uh-huh. reading. I said, well, my grandmother graduated from the school. Yeah. Myself and my siblings and all my kids.
Uh-huh.
And soon I have a grandson there. It's nice to live in a town where it's
okay. Yeah.
For me. I didn't know what it was like to leave until I left for the Army. Uh-huh. And I was immediately home.
I can imagine. Yeah.
I hadn't anticipated. I've never left home before.
Right, right.
And so for 3 years, you know, even though I had a lot of fun in the military, there was always that melancholy mm-hmm. where I wanted to come.
And so you came back.
I did come back. And I said, I'm never leaving again. I don't mm-hmm. care what it takes.
Honestly, historically, I was much more of a mover. Like when I was younger, I kind of was like, okay, I need to go somewhere. I don't know where. I just need to go somewhere. When I finished college, that's why I ended up moving to Colorado. I was there for not quite 10 years. And then when I had my oldest, I decided to come back. And largely it was initially because Colorado is just bonkers expensive. And I didn't want to be renting for the rest of my life. So I thought it would be nice to try to come back someplace where, you know, it would be possible to afford to live in a house that I owned, but also to be near family. But the experience of coming back to the area that I grew up and being around family again, it's amazing how much more I appreciate that now mm-hmm. than when I was at that younger age. So I don't regret bouncing all over the place, but I do see that perspective with better eyes at this
point.
And
did I hear you say that your husband went to Lakeview?
My father did.
Oh, your father.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Hafey. His last name is Hafey.
Who was his first?
Robert.
I went to school with.
It might have been one of them because he has six siblings. So.
Mike? Nope.
Yes, there is a Mike. I have an Uncle Mike. Okay. My Uncle Mike is the one that lost a thumb in a construction accident.
Oh. So,
yeah, that's my Uncle Mike.
Well, Patrick should have showed you his finger where he.
Oh, I know he didn't. Yeah, he didn't mention that.
He worked for a builder and ran through a joiner.
Oh, my God.
It actually grew, most of it grew back.
Okay.
Didn't quite get the whole entire nail.
I hear that when something like that happens to you, it's so quick that your body doesn't even have time to really feel the pain. Like, it's just, you go into shock almost.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that would feel very good. So, yeah.
And then you went to Lowell.
I went to Lowell, yes. And my mom's whole family, they're generations back, Lowell, too.
Well, Lowell, a very incredible town, comes to rest.
Yes.
I had a friend from Lakeview that mm-hmm. moved down there. His two boys played football for.
And they had some really good years for football
they
as well.
They did.
Yeah.
And their teammates was a national champ for Cornell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then he ended up being a national champ for Penn State.
So one of the things that I've talked about to a bunch of people about at this point, my experience in Colorado, there are just little strange things that don't sync up between the two places that feel incongruous and you wouldn't necessarily think of as being that. It's just not a thing out there is high school sports. I mean, they have high school sports, but like there isn't the community involvement that you get with high school sports here.
You don't have the Friday night games where everybody goes.
Right. You don't have people who don't have students in the school, you know, continuing for decades after that. My dad still goes to Lakeview games. He hasn't lived in Lakeview for like 3 or 4 decades at this point. Oh, that relationship to the school athletics mm-hmm. is not the same out there. And that's just one of those funny things. So.
And we almost take it to the other extreme where
right.
You know, you want to make sure you're in a good sports school. academics is kind of important.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm a librarian, yeah. So I'm going to come at it from a different perspective. And I was not an athlete in school either.
You've been in the public eye for a while. Is there anything you think that people don't know about you?
Sure, there are a lot. Everybody knows I'm a grandfather. That's all I talk
more. That's fair. Yeah.
And they know I was a wrestler and a coach because that always comes up. Well, I was an excavator.
Could it possibly be that people don't know what a big fan of Bluey you are?
Well, that could be. And I am a big fan of Bluey. You know, it's funny. When my kids were growing up, we watched Barney all the
time. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I'm glad that it's gone.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Okay. So being in a streaming culture now where they can make available a lot of these older things that would have otherwise just sort of passed out of the zeitgeist. That means that even my kids have come across Barney again because I think it's on Netflix or something like that. And I'm just like, I was really hoping we wouldn't never have to deal with something like this. And not that there isn't children's programming now that you're just like, do we have to watch this? That one, it wasn't great then and it didn't age well. So, but yes, Bluey is much more fun to watch as a grown up. Yeah.
Because there are a lot of subtleties in that.
Yes.
Kids aren't going to get, mm-hmm. but we get.
Right. Yeah.
And, they do a fantastic job. And it's funny because even if I don't have my grandson, every now and then my wife will walk in the living room, Bluey will be on. She'll say, you're watching Bluey. Well, it's on. I'm just not paying attention, turning it off.
I didn't turn this on.
Yeah. It's not me.
I didn't deliberately choose to watch this because I love this show so much. I will throw this out here just in case there are any listeners who are not familiar with it. Bluey is a fantastic Australian cartoon show about a family of dogs. Bluey is the oldest daughter, and it's hysterical. It's gotten very big in the United States. I try to get my parents to enjoy it. I just can't make them understand.
My grandson wears Bluey outfits, and his PJs are Bluey. And I told you they crocheted.
Then
you have Unicorse here, which again is my favorite character out of all of them.
Unicorse is pretty fantastic. Yeah. It's a unicorn puppet that, if any of the episodes feel like, I don't know about this in terms of realism, that one might be one of them. The mm-hmm. idea of having the obnoxious puppet that gets the kid to calm down, I don't know if that actually is going to happen in reality. But if that was happening in my house, they would just make the kids worse. And But then I also have two boys. I don't know if that makes a difference. But yeah, Unicorse is pretty fantastic. I'm going to have to say I like Muffin better, though. Muffin is a very controversial character. She is a very crazy toddler. Mm-hmm. But she's just so powerful.
Yeah. Well, I don't like Jude.
She improves with time.
Well, she reminds me of Nellie on Little House on the Prairie.
The
person you love to hate.
Yeah. Nellie was older, though. At that point, she should have really been a little more accountable for her actions. One of the things that I like about it, too, is that even the characters that you have those moments with where you're just like, I do not. And in the back of your mind, like, these are kids. I shouldn't be judging them because they're children. But at the same time, you're like, ugh, I don't like this kid. But they have arcs where, you can see a different side of them. You can see a different side of them as dogs in this. But, as people. And I appreciate that because we all have individuals in our lives that we're just like, we might dread having a conversation with them because you're just like, oh, I'm not prepared for this. You can always find something that gives you that point of connection, except in the most rare circumstances. Like there's something that you can find that will make you appreciate another person for who they are. And it just sometimes takes a little while to find that. Maybe I'm making this way more philosophical than it needs to be.
And we actually deal with that in politics.
When you
deal with the other side of the aisle, or even people within your own party, you're working with such a diverse people, from all walks of life, from every geographical area in the state, and you should take the time to try to find a common ground.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the hard part. I mean that used to be the strength of this country was the diversity that we had. It seems now it's almost a weakness.
I would say I don't think it's no longer a strength. I would say that we don't know how to have conversations about it, that the way that we might have in the past. There is more of an expectation culturally that we are supposed to be in very, like, in any given scenario, there's one side and then there's the other side, and there's not a whole lot in the middle.
Right.
And
where actually in times past, more people were in the middle.
Right, right.
I say that a JFK nowadays would be a Democrat.
Right.
He would be a Republican. He would be considered a Republican. Mm-hmm. He would be considered middle of the road Republican. We've really shifted to the extremes. At least it feels like that. You know, whether that's true that the extremes are more of the majority, or if it's just true that they're louder.
Yeah, and that's something we were talking about last time too. Yeah. That that the way that we have conversations now, especially when you bring social media into the mix, we're not treating each other the same way that we used to.
Mm-hmm.
And you get more people who are loud because they enjoy how loud they can be.
Right.
It's not necessarily part and parcel with feeling strongly about something, although hopefully there's some sincerity there as well. But sometimes it's just, they just like stirring the pot.
Right.
So.
And social media had my help.
Oh, no, not at all. Definitely. Yeah. I'm not done talking about Bluey. You're not going to get me to stop talking about that. What's your favorite episode?
Where Chili's reading to Bluey and Unicorn.
Since Unicorns is your favorite, that makes sense. Have you seen both of them? Because there's a second one, too, where he comes back.
Yeah, where he's trying to date.
Yeah, he's trying to, he's trying to get
where he finally finds out that he's a puppet. And,
right.
Yeah.
Right, because he's the dad. Oh, my gosh.
What's your favorite?
Well, and I'm going to be like consistent here too, because again, Muffin is my favorite. There's a bunch of ones that I absolutely love, but the Grouchy Granny one where Muffin.
Oh, I love it. Grouchy Granny.
Muffin is like yelling at the older lady who was like,
trying to sell the Granny Mobile. That is one of my favorites too. All the Granny ones, when they're getting on the bus too.
Oh my gosh.
They want to go to Mahjong.
Great parking job, Rita.
Oh, that's.
Oh, and just the whole one where Muffin missed a nap too, and she's just acting like she's drunk the whole time.
Or when she's on FaceTime, doesn't want to get off.
This is why I love her so much as a character. But yeah, it is. I mean, if you haven't watched it before, even if you don't have kids, it's worth checking out because it is hysterical.
I'm still waiting for the new episodes. I mean, we watched every
next week. There's a long one coming
the 7th,
out next week,
and then the 14th or something is another one.
Yeah, that sounds right.
They need a Bluey movie. I would go to a theater and watch.
Yeah, although it's kind of nice getting it in the small pieces too.
It is, but they're so short. Then you got to play unless you can flip through it quick. Kids' interest.
Uh-huh.
You know, it isn't bad for me, but for my grandson, at the end of the episode, and then we got to quick go through the credits.
Okay.
To get to the next one.
Well, and that's the beauty of the streaming stuff is that usually it just skips the credits and just keeps on going. Like, the parents are just so invested. They're playing games with them constantly. Mm-hmm. And it looks like, are any of us as good a parents as they are? But if you think of them as always being in those short snippets, I mean, hopefully most of us are good parents for at least 7 minutes at a time.
Right,
every now and again.
Well, we have become a soundbite society, so I mean, it goes well. You know, even our politics. People don't take the time to. I tell people, in a perfect world, I shouldn't even have to.
Uh-huh.
People would know what I did based on my voting record,
right?
And they would vote accordingly. You know,
right.
They like my votes were consistent. Thought
uh-huh.
Then they would vote for me, and if it wasn't, then they would vote for someone else. Instead, I go to the doors and I tell people how great I am,
uh-huh.
And they either believe me or don't believe me based on how I look, how I sound, and we just. On the catchphrases.
You
know, for Governor Whitmer, it was fix the damn road.
And right.
When you heard that phrase, you immediately pictured her.
Right.
With President Obama, hope and change. With President Trump, America great. With George H.W. Bush, read my lips.
Uh-huh.
You know, everybody had a catchphrase, and that's what we tend to gravitate towards instead of really doing the hard work, finding out exactly who that person is and what.
Well, and in some cases, that hard work might not even be possible, especially when you're talking about politicians on a national level. Because, I mean, and again, this is to me getting back to what my original intent was when I started doing the podcast, was this idea that we can feel this alienation from you know, the people who live in our community, because we don't necessarily know them, because we might know them, you know, from one particular post they put on the local Facebook page,
right,
or just one snippet aspect of who they are as a person, and that becomes their entire identity to
right.
us. It's a fast and easy way to do it, but it's not an actual real picture of who people are. We lose important perspective that mm-hmm. way. Having the opportunity to actually have conversations with someone where you have enough time to sort of sink into it and learn something about the other person. I mean, how often do we get that opportunity anymore?
Right.
Yeah. Any chance to create that opportunity, so much the better. And if they can't have conversations with you themselves, then they can listen to me have a conversation right. with you.
Yeah.
Which that works.
No, it's a great idea.
Yeah, thank you. I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm just saying, like, that was my goal. And part of being in my role, I have the advantage of not having been elected. I'm not accounting for myself in quite the same way that you have to be, but I also want to choose to be accountable to the community and try to, you know, represent as much of the community's needs as I can. It gives me the opportunity to get excited about you know, doing stuff that's going to make some meaningful difference. So it is time. Are you ready?
Oh.
Okay. So for the, okay.
Yeah,
so I managed to actually make you forget about that.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. Okay. So if you listen to the episode with Pat, then you will know that we did a father-son version of the newlywed game, basically. So what I did when I sat down with him is I had five questions that I asked him, and I asked him to answer for himself, and then I asked him to answer for you
mm-hmm.
To see if he had a guess as to what your answer would be. And I surprised him with it, too, because mm-hmm. in all fairness, I kind of decided to do it the last minute, but I didn't want him to have a chance to think about it or
sure.
cheat and ask you. And you chose not to cheat, which good mm-hmm. for you, did not listen to that part. So hopefully we will find out for sure mm-hmm. if you guys matched up in your answer. So for each of these, you're answering for yourself and then you're answering for Pat. Favorite food?
Hamburger Helper.
Okay. How about Pat?
Steak.
Okay. That is too funny. So, okay. So the answer he gave for you was steak.
Really?
Yes. He said it was probably steak or something else meat related, which I guess in that respect, he was mm-hmm. right, because it was Hamburger Helper. And what he said for himself was ribs, actually.
Oh, so he does same, like ribs.
You're in the same area, but
well,
all right.
When we first got married, mm-hmm. my wife was learning to cook. She didn't really grow up cooking, and but she could make Hamburger Helper.
Yeah.
And we always had hamburger, and we always had beef. We always had cattle. Mm-hmm. So once she learned to cook, that went away,
mm-hmm.
went out of our menu, and so I had to start requesting.
Right.
I wanted that. And so every year for my birthday, that's what I request, is Hamburger Help.
Okay. That is fantastic. I love that. It is very comforting. I totally understand that. I haven't had it in forever. Now that kind of sounds
There's
good.
So many different flavors.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're all, again, they're very, very homey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Favorite vacation spot?
So growing up, it was always our cabin in
okay.
Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
Right before I left for the Army, the weekend before, I made it a point to go there, say goodbye to it.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't going to see it for 3 years minimum,
mm-hmm.
how long I stayed then. But I would say now probably Paradise. We do a lot of snowmobiling in the winter.
And how about Pat?
I would think, I mean, he does like Disneyland mm-hmm. or Disney World, whatever one in Florida.
Disney World.
So either that or probably Paradise.
Okay. Yep. He said the UP for both of you.
Oh, okay.
Yep. It's great that you have family opportunity that all of you can enjoy it together. Yeah. And it's winter or summer?
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, in the summer we can ride quads and side-by-sides. And in the
yeah.
winter, typically you can snowmobile.
Okay.
This year.
Right. Yeah. This wasn't a big snow year.
Right.
Do you have a preference of one over the other?
I love snow.
Okay.
So growing up, you know, being in the excavating world, the time that my dad had off within
the oh, that makes sense.
We didn't plow
yeah.
snow. We didn't
right.
do snow removal. And so that's when that was our summer.
Right.
Know, with our dad.
Okay.
So, you know, we learned to do winter sports, you know,
uh-huh.
ice fish, snowmobile.
Okay.
And so that just continued on for me and my son too. when he was growing up, I was excavating. And again, we still didn't do snow removal. So we got to spend a lot more time together in the winter. The rest of that, you know, my wife, she actually accuses me of having an obsession right now. I get it. You weren't, you know, you were busy.
Oh, yeah.
When we were raising our kids, you know, you went to as many things as could, but I mean, we worked daylight to dark 7 days a week. You know, now I have more time.
I qualified this one because when I first said it, he was a little overwhelmed by the option. So, favorite movie? So, I will tell you that he chose a more recent one, but I'll let you pick whatever you want.
There was a movie called Warrior, MMA Fighters. I'm terrible about knowing names.
When was it from? Or like about when did it come out?
I don't know. 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Okay.
So, you know that movie, Venom? You know the main character, Tom Holland, is it?
Yeah.
So he was the brother down
there. Okay.
And then the other guy is, if you watched the new, like, Obi-Wan series, Luke's uncle that took him in, the other brother in Warrior, and I don't know his name. Pat's good at remembering all these new actors' names.
Okay.
I just remember the ones from my era.
Well, that, yeah, that makes sense. The stuff that we're immersed in. Definitely.
But they were two brothers that were MMA fighters. Okay. That type of genre of mine. The Rockies, Vision Quest was a wrestling one, Creed, any of those. I like that.
Okay.
But Warriors. And Patrick, you say fairly recent one?
Yeah. Because he at first he was like, I have picking one is going to be impossible. So I said, either pick one from when you were younger or pick one that is more recent.
I have no idea.
This one was the stumper, I guess. Okay. So the one that he picked was Oppenheimer.
Oh.
Because he, stuff.
I think they went to the theater and saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they did, because I think that was a very long movie. Daughter-in-law, I was not prepared for that long. I mean, they had a baby like a month ago. So.
Yeah. It's a commitment.
Yeah.
And he said that he was excited about the second Dune movie too, because the first one had come out. And
that's the one. No, I take that back. That was the one that.
Okay.
3 hours.
They're both really long. Yeah. Oppenheimer's really long too.
Okay.
But yeah. And then he kind of deer in headlights with yours, and what he guessed at was either the Rocky movies or the Star Wars series.
I do love Star Wars. So. Yeah.
And the originals, I'm assuming.
All of them.
Okay.
I actually like the one now, Obi-Wan and Mandalorian and all.
Oh, yeah.
Again, my era when Star Wars first came out.
Right. Well, and Pedro Pascal is just amazing, the guy who's the Mandalorian. He's just fantastic in everything he does. Favorite sport?
Excellent.
Yeah. For both of you?
I would say.
Okay.
What did he say?
That's what he said.
Okay.
Yeah. And I told him, like, that's not one that you typically hear people say as being their favorite either. So
Patrick is actually named after my wrestling coach.
Oh, okay.
My wrestling coach was Pat Boyd.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it's really part of you then.
It is. Wrestling in general, you really become more of a family. It's such a close knit as far as wrestling.
Yeah.
So I actually try to get together at least once a year. My old coach lives in Mount Pleasant. A harder time getting around, but I try to put together a group and we go watch a CMU match every year. And he graduated from CMU. Since he started the wrestling program at Lakeview in, I don't know, like 68, 69, somewhere around there. High school. Freshman year. So there were a group a little bit ahead of me. So we had those years of him coaching. And he really did make us into a family. So we all tried together at least once a year and hang out with him. You couldn't be in our family and not be in wrestling.
Yeah, that's kind of how he phrased it. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny because, again, former Senator Emmons, she'll just roll her eyes because invariably, no matter where we go, wrestlers just find each other. If I'm up speaking, I'll say, well, let me get this word out of the way. So that Senator Emmons could roll her eyes, and then we can go about our business. I'm just going to say the word wrestling, and then let's start talking, whatever.
So it's not hanging out there.
Right, yeah. That's right.
Then the last one, it's a little bit of a twist. So if you suddenly won $100 million, what would be the first thing you would do?
hope, first thing is take a tenth and give it to my church. Uh-huh. And then the rest I would use to, you know, pay off bills and try to prepare.
How many bills do you have?
Well, not a lot. You know, most of our equipment is paid for now.
Oh, but, okay.
My house is for, but mm-hmm. As I'm going through chronologically what I would do.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that makes sense. The sensible things first, yeah.
Pay bills, you know, try to invest in retirement, you know, for my wife and I. Yeah. Really just prepare for the next stage in life. Nothing fancy. I don't even think I'd buy a new.
Just, really?
You know, we actually.
Not even like an extra car, not even like you, it wouldn't even have to be super fancy. Just like, yeah.
Yeah. We live pretty simple lives. The car that my wife drives is a 2008 Chrysler 300 that she puts 6,000 miles a year on. And the car I drive is an 08 Ford Escape. Mm-hmm. But I do have a diesel pickup, of course, for work and on the farm. But it is jacked. My wife calls it my mid-crisis. She hates it because you have to climb up in it.
Right.
She tells me, compensating, because I'm so short. She likes to say I'm like Lord Farquaad.
Oh, right, right. You
know, hops off the horse.
From Shrek.
Yeah. I jump down and just short little me. And it is a white horse or a white truck. Like,
okay.
Other than that, we pretty simple life. Require a lot. So for me, it would be more of a matter of practicality.
Okay.
And extravagance. He'd probably buy a new snowmobile. He just bought a snowmobile. Mm-hmm. You know, he made that one out. So it's more like my air and power windows and all that. Mm-hmm. But I would think he would be practical too. Maybe onto his house if he would stay there. Although I've told him more often than if he gives me two more grandkids, we'll even though I dread going house I grew up in, because you got to plug in the number of things or you blow fuses.
Yeah,
and you know, it's just an old farmhouse, no closets, nothing like that, you know. And where my house is big, bigger than ever needed, and it would be perfect for him, you know, as a growing family.
Right, right.
I have a caveat. If we're switching, need more grandkids.
It's only fair. Well, just a little bit.
Maybe.
Extortion, perhaps, yeah.
Whatever. It's called Machiavellian
X. Right. There we go. I don't know if that's a good thing, but yeah. Okay. So what did he say? He was fairly practical. He said that he would definitely do stuff with the farm. He said something about potentially buying some property in the UP, maybe some recreational property like out west someplace, like in Montana or around there. And then again, like, I think he said something about potentially, you know, stuff with the UP for you as well, but he was struggling to come up with anything.
Yeah.
He assumed that you would be also very practical about it. And I said, you never know. He might shock you.
No, I'm pretty practical guy, so.
Well, I don't know. What you hear about people who at least play the lottery and win that is that so often they turn into totally different people.
Oh,
and
I'm
win
sure.
A bunch of money, yeah. So.
Well, I don't play, so.
Yeah, that's what he said, too. So that's why I said, I think it just dropped in the middle of the field one day. So it just, you know, it fell out of a plane or something like that. And for some reason, you didn't, you know, try to find out who it belonged to. I don't know. It just, you know, it just magically appeared. You weren't too far off.
No?
That's not bad at all. No. Yeah. I think the only one that you were all kind of slightly out of sync on was the movie one.
It was. Yeah,
you all know each other pretty well. You're going to have to find ways to surprise each other, apparently, then.
Hard to do when you live next door to each other.
That's true. And obviously, you're very close, too.
She left his house to come here.
Oh, that's perfect.
I wanted to make sure my grandson took a nap and I'm very good putting him down.
Okay. Do you have like a secret like Jedi trick to do it?
Oh, just does it for me.
Okay. Grandson and the Chihuahua, you've got them.
They sleep next to each other all the time.
You're starting your own little pack.
That's
here.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. Yeah.
Thanks for inviting me.
It was a really nice experience getting to talk to the both of you too, and to sort of like piece the family together. Pat made a joke about the fact that I need to bring you all's wives in here too, and then we'll just get the, you know, full circle.
Yeah, you'll never get my wife.
Oh yeah,
in a million years. She's not into public speaking, number one.
Oh, that's fair.
And she's in politics in any way, shape, or form. Not that this is political.
Right.
But she would associate politics.
Okay.
You know, the only thing she does with me for political reasons, she'll do the parade.
Oh, okay.
She'll drive the truck. And
well, the two of you are the only ones that I've spoken to who are politicians in any sense thus far. Most of the people I've talked to are just, you know, people I've known through nonprofits and whatnot in the area. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's just having a conversation. Yeah. It's been easy to fall into setting up conversations with people that may be recognizable to the community in some way, but that's not my ultimate goal. I want to move towards having more conversations with people that don't necessarily have name notoriety, who are just people who, who've been in our community for a long time, or just have, interesting stories to tell. So
no, this was very.
I'm glad I didn't expect to intimidate you, but I'm glad I didn't. And thank you again. It was a lot of fun. All right. We are back. Thank you for sticking with me. If you are still here, that's the beauty of podcasts, is pause and starting again when you're doing dishes again. So yeah, exactly. So it's a beautiful thing. It was great to have a chance to talk to Rick. I learned a lot about him. And since the interview, since I initially sat down with him, yesterday was in Lansing because the Michigan Library Association annually has something called Advocacy Day, where they send librarians to Lansing and they will take meetings with their local representatives and senators, and they will have conversations that are particularly relevant in the given legislative year to libraries, just to keep them informed, because being a legislator and being aware of all of the things you need
so
to be aware
much,
of, there really is. Yeah. So they really count on citizens to make them aware of the nuances. So I saw him again yesterday, and we went back to talking about Bluey, of course.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, let's be real. This was like the biggest Bluey weekend ever.
Talk about it. I don't think I can. It was too emotional.
It was pretty emotional.
We just moved out of our house with our own two little kids, and they had to adjust to leaving the house that they had been babies in.
Very topical for you.
Yeah, it was too much.
Yeah.
It was too much. We're not going to talk about that. So it made it so much easier to have a conversation with him about stuff. You know, the whole point of all of this is that there are conversations that are difficult for us to have with people that we are not close to, or in some cases that we are close to, but there are difficult topics that that if we can couch them in the context of ourselves as human beings, how much easier is it for us to have empathy in those moments? Of course, we were talking about funding. So libraries get state aid from the state of Michigan. The amount of state aid that we get has not increased since the 1970s. Mm. We're really hoping that we can start pecking away at that and getting that number up, because we're losing to Ohio, people. That's what I've learned. We are getting way less per capita than both Ohio and Illinois, and that's unacceptable. There's some funding that we are encouraging legislators to support to try to get capital improvement grants for a lot of libraries who need a new elevator, or who need to have their boilers replaced, or just are like the Ionia Community Library and have been in that building forever. And they just got federal grant money. Which is great. But, you know, sometimes in a community, it just costs a lot of money to put something to take care of those capital needs. So that was the fun conversations we were having. But we also talked about Bluey. So,
I mean, as a librarian, very appreciative of you and the other librarians going and showing
up. I'm not
up
fishing
the state
for this. I feel
I'm
like
not
I need
saying,
to.
I'm not saying sure. But like, you know, it's important. And I'm glad that we're able to represent libraries.
Right. And I'm grateful to have that opportunity to do so, honestly, because it's something that I enjoy being able to be a part of. And it's a great opportunity to connect with librarians all over the state, too. I've got some buddies in the UP that I only ever see at those events. Yeah. In the break here, we were talking about some stuff related to newspaper archive, whatnot, which also so exciting. One of the last times that you and I did this, we were looking at some of the
local happenings.
Yeah, like tidbits from our archives, because again, if you were not previously aware, we have license to all of the daily news archives up until 2010, and we're hoping to get that a little closer to To current Hero in the Near Future with the Daily News. But other than that, we have it going back to, I think, the 1850s.
Yep.
It hasn't been the Daily News the whole time, but, you know, all of its predecessors as well. Mm-hmm. And we have all of that free and totally available on our website. Yep. There's some really fun stuff out there. You had kind of a brain bubble the other day.
Well, so like last couple of weeks, the library has just had a ton of publicity for various things, whether that's the med media. Bags that we distribute.
Yep. The media has been good to us.
It has. Yes. We appreciate the Daily News. But like we've also done a spot on the radio with 106.3. And it kind of occurred to me based on our podcast conversation. And as many times as you were mentioned in the news lately, and I've been mentioned in the local news as well, I'm like, that's going to be us.
Right. We're going to be in those archives.
It's going to be weird. We won't be here, clearly, but like in like 100 years, we will be those people that were like in the history of Green. And I'm just like, that's just so weird. That's like one of the weirdest things about this job to me. I'm just like. Not that we haven't been on social media our entire lives as millennials.
It feels different. It feels more official.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like grown-up media.
Yeah. Like, it's like getting jury duty. Like that, like you're finally an adult.
Right. You're part of the public record, basically. Yes.
Yeah. So that just
For ill or for otherwise.
Right.
Yeah. And in so doing, we were also talking about the... again, it's so easy to go down rabbit holes with the archive stuff. I talked to Corey about this, too, because he gets very excited about how searchable our stuff is.
Oh, yeah.
So when he did the article about Blackfield the other day, because, of course, the library is petitioning to be donated, essentially, the Blackfield property and to integrate it into something that we can make beautiful and open to the community.
Yeah.
To revitalize. There's nothing to vote for, but, you know, vote for us.
we will make very good use of the space.
Yes. If you have opinions about this, please let the school board know.
Yes.
But also because I just moved into the house that is 150 years old and has pretty significant history, right, in the city, I've been trying to figure out a little bit. I've been very stingy about it thus far. I'm sure I will dig in farther. But I've been told that Joyce did the history on the house as well, and she got the full workup on it, but the owners that I purchased it from, they're like, we're not 100% sure where it went. I'm like, you've been in this house for 20 plus years. I totally get that.
You'll probably find it tucked somewhere.
Maybe, or they'll find it in their stuff and they'll pass it on. With a house that old, it's just fascinating seeing where it's been. Mm-hmm. So I've done a little bit of research just through the archive to see if I could find out some stuff. And the original builder on the property, or at least the person who owned it up until when it was built, I haven't gotten the nuances on it, was one of the original founders when the village was incorporated. And he was the circuit court judge locally.
Okay.
And he was like one of the signers for the charter.
The town
and
charter.
And like he was, you know, big mover and shaker in the area. And of course, I've now forgotten his name. I just was searching to see if I could find anything specifically about the property, if there was anything about the address. So I searched on the address itself in full to see if anything came up.
Which we will not be.
I will not disclose.
Publicizing.
I will remove that part from what I'm explaining. But there was exactly one article that came up in the archive. This is not necessarily something you want to have happened in your home, but it was such an intriguing article.
Oh, no.
The one article that came up was from 1919.
Okay. So a solid 100 plus years old.
Yes. 105 exactly. Mm-hmm. Almost, because this was from May of 1919. The headline for it is "Had Narrow Escape."
Ooh.
It's very intriguing. It's like, ooh, okay. What was this narrow escape? Although I feel like it's a little bit of a spoiler alert too.
I'm glad everyone was okay.
Well, yeah, but like, let us read to the end. This is why I'm not a journalist.
Yeah.
I am a fiction writer by trade. And I'm like, don't spoil your ending before
you
get there.
That's literally what the headline's for.
Right, exactly. It's just not as much fun. Here's what the article says. And we have a license to do this, so I can read this on the air.
Yes.
Miss Catherine Kinney, a teacher in the city schools, was overcome by gas Saturday afternoon at the home of Mr. Thomas Burns. Mm-hmm. I'll do like the fish head from SpongeBob. Name and address withheld. I can't quite do the voice, but where she boards. So apparently there was boarding at the house at one point. The young lady was about to take a bath and did not heed the warning given her by Mrs. Burns to leave the bathroom door open while using the instantaneous heater. That
I feel like if you know you have a gas leak, you maybe should get that fixed.
I don't. Well, that's probably not. If it's a gas heater, it may just be like it needs to vent. It's like you don't. I mean, that's why you don't sit in your car with it running in the garage with the door shut. Like, it's just like.
But still, like, I feel like that's just bad construction you have to have the door open, like a window at least.
It's 1919.
Look, man,
they were going to the bathroom indoors at that point, hopefully. So, like, that's.
I mean.
Count your blessings here.
Yeah, fair.
We have to find out what happens.
Okay, keep going.
After a sufficient time had elapsed for taking a bath and hearing nothing from the young lady, Mrs. Burns started to investigate and found the bathroom door still locked.
Uh-oh.
Why did she have to lock the door? Maybe she was just being modest, but like.
That's what I feel. Like,
locked doors always feel. It's like the gun over the mantelpiece. It's like, what's the story behind this? But. Receiving no response to her call, she went outside and, looking through the window, discovered Miss Kinney lying on the floor.
No.
I guess at least she didn't pass out in the bathtub, so that's something.
Yeah, it could have been a lot worse.
An entry was made through the window, which is a very sophisticated way to say that she just, like, broke the window.
Right.
Unfortunately, the young lady was rescued before life became extinct.
That's a great way to phrase it, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I feel like that's not something
like
that.
Like, before her flame was extinguished. Yes.
Well, I'm glad she was okay.
Yes, she was. And she's probably long dead now, I'm assuming.
I would think.
A physician was summoned, and it was only a short time until the patient was breathing, although she did not regain consciousness for some time.
Oh.
And probably woke up with a few less brain cells than she started with.
And a giant headache, I would think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That is, yep. You need some laudanum for that one, no doubt. Her mother and sister at Grand Rapids were notified and came out to care for her. Tuesday, she had recovered sufficiently to be taken to her home. Okay, so maybe she
her family
there.
Home. No, if she was a boarder.
Oh, to her family's.
Yeah.
Okay, good point. She will undoubtedly not be able to resume her work until next term.
Oh.
What?
Like, but
okay, now
I need to know more.
Well,
like, I need to Google this woman.
Well, you don't need to Google.
You are
a librarian.
That's fair. She is literally wagging her finger at me.
You are a librarian.
I will research
Google
this individual.
Does not replace libraries.
No.
Do I have to give you the speech?
But we as librarians are taught how to Google properly in a way that finds
more. You're not Googling. You're not Googling. It's in our
archives. Do you call it a Xerox machine? Do you call it Kleenex? It is just a term. It's a verb now.
Who uses the term Xerox anymore? It's 2024.
They have been made into verbs.
Do you call it a mimeograph machine? Like, what are you? What? Kleenex, okay. I'll give you that one.
Okay. You still Google things. You have to admit that that has been verbed.
We, as responsible keepers of the information, need to acknowledge that it is a verb that has overstretched its applicability.
I completely agree with that.
Google is a very specific kind. Like, if you want to know, Tom Holland and Zendaya still together. Then Google is there for you.
They are.
Well, yeah, of course they are.
I mean,
did you see him doing that Rihanna song on
TikTok?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was fantastic.
It wasn't on TikTok. It was on television. Like, it was, oh my God.
Everything gets reposted to TikTok.
We're recycling here. You were the old lady a minute ago. Now I'm the old lady who's like, I saw it on the television. For something like this, when you need to go back into 1920 or whatever and find out what happened to Catherine Kinney.
We are searching our database.
Yes.
Yes.
Search responsibly, please.
Now that I've been completely dressed down as a librarian, I actually have to go on desk.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's a weird way to end.
I know, but
I would like to add, now that I have chastised you thoroughly, I'm so grateful for all of the hard work that you do. And it may not sound like I'm saying this sincerely because I'm saying it in the tone that I am, but I mean it sincerely. Cassie does a lot of hard work here, and she has made a lot of really cool programs possible. And she's out and about in the community, and she's like, you know, she's doing her thing. So yeah. I don't know why I'm talking about you in the third person, but
quite honestly, this is the best job ever. This is one of those jobs that I'm happy to come to every day.
Good feeling. Yeah.
Not everything about our job is perfect. If it's this or, you know, a corporate industry that I was previously in, happy here. So
specifically industrial fasteners. Yes.
I'm not going to name any company names.
No. I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying, like, if it's between this and for me, it was like oil and gas software. Mm-hmm. Between those two. No question.
No. But if you need to know anything about industrial fasteners, both cranes, industrial and automotive, I am your person.
Right. And if you need to know anything about upstream oil and gas and mineral rights and GIS data, then come to me.
There you go. I didn't know that you were did you technically do GIS librarianship?
I wrote documentation for it, which means that I really didn't know that much about it.
Fair.
Yeah. I knew just enough to explain to people what information to put into which box.
I feel like that's a lot of librarianship, is just knowing just enough to be useful and helpful.
To get the ball rolling. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Thank you again for listening, and I promise I will get this next one out sooner. This last time I got the flu and it was moving into my house and there were things. But we will get back on schedule again, and I have no idea who's gonna be on next, so stay tuned. And thank you. And take care.